Wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. Roger's a sweet man. Randy is too. And we're still deciding about Natalie. Wonderful. Isn't it good to be in such a gracious, wonderful church? I like Nancy Thomas this morning. It's just a good place to be. Safe. I feel real safe here. I'm going to talk to y'all in a minute. I'm going to talk to the people on live stream. Hey, some of y'all still watching on live stream ought to be in church. Now listen, we're all in masks. We're protected. We're taken care of. Don't get too used to a cup of coffee while I'm preaching. I'm going to preach so hard tonight you might lose your coffee. I'm trying to be sweet, but you know, we just can't live in fear. Our church is, man, I don't know if it's going to hit here. It may not, but I'll do tell you this. We're doing everything we can, and I do feel safe, and I do feel comfortable, and I'm glad you're here. I just thought I'd say that. That's not y'all. That's them. I love them. Thank you for being faithful. You people who are still watching by live stream. You've been faithful and giving. You're good people. I just want to see your face. I miss you. Amen. Back to Romans chapter number 8. And I'm just going to finish this tonight. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but I'm going to preach it. If you wasn't here this morning, I'm going to give you just three or four things to catch you up. But I don't want to spend my whole time preaching what I did this morning. But I will tell you something. How many of y'all believe in the good providence of God? Man, that was a wonderful illustration about those biscuits, wasn't it? You want to know providence? I didn't know what I was having for lunch. I did not know. But when I got home, sitting on my plate was a cathead biscuit about that big around. Cooked just right on the outside, kind of done on the outside, soft on the inside. It sucked that real cow butter up, and then I sucked it up. You said, how many did you eat? More than one. Are we all spiritual now? Romans 8, again tonight. I'm speaking about the chemistry of the cross. I preached this morning on the chemistry of the cross, part one. Just tonight, it's the chemistry of the cross, part two. And we'll go over some of the verses. And we know, how about that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he, this is a big word, did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Dear God. What shall we say then? Or excuse me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? I may cover some more of these verses if time permits tonight. The chemistry of the cross. I mentioned this morning that I love table salt. When I ate today, I put about a big bunch of salt on my green beans, and I even threw some on my butter before I put it in my biscuit. But you know, it's made up of sodium and chloride, and I would not recommend you go eat sodium by itself or chloride by itself, because you're probably going to die or get real sick. But if you put them together, it's real good salt. Can I tell you something? There's just something about the cross of Calvary. the chemistry of the cross. We go through our bitter spells. Our life is up and down. But when God's cross is applied to our life and in the crucible of his love, and, whoo, glory, and the cross is applied to our life, I want you to know, Brother Chad, it changes everything. Now, I won't stay here. We talked about, and we know that's the certainty of his promise. We're talking about the determination of his promise. And then we talked about the circumference of his promise. All things work together. There's some of you this morning, I was watching you while I was preaching. I don't know if you was getting that. You get that some things work together, and you get that most things work together, but you haven't got to the place where all things work together, whether it's good things, whether it's bad things, whether it's indifferent things. I'm glad that God can take it all, and when it's bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ, everything comes out all right. Whew. I won't preach that again, but I want to. Then the cooperation, they work together. God knows how to put one thing here and allow one thing here and one thing here to cooperate where it'll bring you to a better Christian life. And then the conclusion, God does all things good. How many wave your hand at me and say he does all things good? God ain't never made a mistake. He's never lied. He can't lie. And that goofball idiot from CNN, Christ was perfect. Amen. He couldn't sin. Right. You say, why couldn't he sin? Because he wouldn't. And he wouldn't because he couldn't. Amen. God help him. He might as well stick to announcing. He ain't very good at that. Because he needs to get off of theology. I'll just keep going. And then the condition that we love God. But I want to deal a little further tonight. I want to talk about the declaration of his purpose. Let's look at the back end of this passage of scripture. Who are the called according to his purpose. Whew. I want everyone to look at me. And I'm going to go slow. God has an eternal purpose for every man, woman, and boy, and girl in this church tonight. Amen. And that divine purpose is that you one day will come into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody help me preach. You know, I want to say something about pastoring while I get into this. Pastoring's unlike anything you ever try to do. See, a pastor has to preach some sermons that are hard, has to preach some sermons for family, has to preach on sermons about finance, but also pastors got to be able to keep the church going in the right direction doctrinally. Somebody help me preach right there. See, if this church ever loses its doctrine, and it'll lose its identity. And what I'm going to be preaching tonight is full of doctrine. And you say it might be a little bit over my head. Well, if it is, just kind of, you know. Let me talk to you about his purpose. We find it in verse 29. Boy, this is a big word. For whom he did foreknow. See, his divine or his declared purpose is based upon the omniscience of God. How many of y'all believe God knows everything? Raise your hand if you know that. Now, I've got all kinds of notes here because I want to really bring this out tonight. This is pastoral tonight, okay? See, there's a lot of people don't even know they're saved forever because they don't understand God's purpose. What in the world do you think about yourself? Do you think God sent his son to die on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, go through the worst beating known to man, to leave it up to you to keep yourself saved and live your life and one day lose it if you mess up. Now, I'm going to tell all y'all this. You can't lose it. Because it wasn't, you didn't get it on your own. You were given it by God. Oh, it is good preaching, isn't it? Stay with me. I'm getting a little deep here. His purpose, Brother Michael, is based in his omniscience. For whom he did foreknow. God knows everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You said, I don't know what's going to hold tomorrow. I don't know what this pandemic is going to do. I don't know what this world's going to do. I want you to know God knows. Now, there's two schools of thought here, Chad, that are both wrong. But I'm going to give the church, give it to them about foreknowledge. Let me give you the first one. If God only knew those whom he knew would believe, like this, he looks down and he says, I see that you're going to be saved. And I choose you on that basis. Right? It's quiet in here now. Some of y'all wonder what I'm going to say. Now listen to this. Then God's sovereignty is forfeited to the will of man. Somebody help me preach. Whew. See, God. Woo! See, then God's will become a prisoner of man's will. That's one bad way. But then here's the other one. If God picked some people to be saved, whether they wanted to be saved or not, then the free will of man is a joke. Somebody help me preach. How many's ever been on a train track? If you walk down the train track, Anthony, rail here. But Anthony, you ever been down there and look way down, about 2 miles down the train track? What did you see? That right there. You know what that there means? That means the sovereignty of God and the free will of man are on each track. But when you look way down there, they look one. Because what happens is God brings you within the sovereignty of his will. Somebody ought to help me preach. Now listen to me, son. I just said a whole bunch I don't even understand. Do you? How about you, big boy? I done went over my own head. But somebody ought to shout about it. Now let me give you some. Let me give you some facts. Fact number one, man does not initiate his salvation. Amen. You can't initiate because you're dead in sin. You didn't even want to be saved when you got saved. Amen. He that hath begun a good work in us. See, his foreknowledge tells us we don't initiate it. God, before the world began, planned your whole salvation. Number two, the death of Christ on the cross was for the sins of all men. Whew. Now hold a minute, Calvinists. See, I talked about foreknowledge, but predestination has nothing to do with I'm predestined you to be saved and you to be lost. He said he predestined us to be conformed, Brother Rich, to the image of his will, to his image. That's what predestined is about, one of God's purposes for our life. It's not he said, I'm going to save you and you're going to go to hell.
Amen. That's good preaching.
Somebody help me preach. He died for all men. Amen. Now, I want you to know, it's inundating the Southern Baptists, and about half the independents are so eat up with this Calvinistic movement. Hey, by the way, I'm preaching this tonight, and I'm not denying God's sovereignty, but also I'm not denying the free will of man. They run together.
Amen.
Amen. Calvinist crowd, I don't mean to bog down. That Calvinist crowd, they don't even know they're saved. Boy, it's quiet in here now. They don't believe what you believe, Chad. You believe in the preservation of the saint, don't you? They don't believe that. They believe in the perseverance of the saints. They believe because they are elect, they will persevere. And if they don't persevere, they weren't God's elect. What a goofball belief. Hey, I'm not preserving myself. I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. And somebody needs to take a shot at that bunch every once in a while. And you say, why are you preaching in this church like this? Because I'm just making sure I don't have no closet Calvinists. I had one time, got rid of that joker. He's a five-pointer. He bled it. Tried to dictate me to be a five-pointer. We fell out. I want you to know something. If you get hold of this tonight, hey, your free will does not hinder God's sovereignty. So, oh, glory. That's good preaching. But let me say this. I don't mean to get so deep tonight. But only those who receive the atoning death of Christ by faith are saved through his blood. And there is... Woo! And by the way, wait now. Whosoever will is still in the Bible. How many of y'all still believe that? Whosoever will. I mean, we might as well fold our tent if we don't believe everybody can be saved. But we can preach that and still preserve his sovereignty. So his purpose is based on his omniscience. That didn't get too deep, did it? Did I do all right? Some of y'all nod your head still. Tell me if you're awake. Because you got your mask pulled up over your eyes and I can't tell. Now notice this. Let's do some more words. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now notice this. Look what he predestinated. He didn't predestinate you to be saved. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his son. The word predestined comes from the word predestine. It means to mark off the boundaries ahead of time. Now here's what God done. Before the world's had, he planned my salvation and your salvation and everybody in this room's salvation and said, this is what they're going to be like when it's done. Now, look at another word. Y'all still with me? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I studied that out too. You know what that word firstborn means? He's a prototype. Huh? God before the world. Lois, this is good. God before the world planned out what all of us is going to be like. And he had a prototype in his son. Because we are going to be into his image. Amen. Now, this is going to be a little carnal. Might as well get a little carnal. Is Brother Collins here? He's a whole lot carnal. Say amen, Sister Collins. And Rich the same way. They're kind of eat up in fast cars. I am too. In 2020 or 2019, they brought out the prototype of the 2020 Ford 500 Mustang 700. I won't get too close, y'all. And 60 horsepower. And they put it in the showcase. And said, this is a prototype. And they put it out there first so everybody could see it. So they'd know what it's going to be. So when they had mass production, every one of them would be the same. I want you to know God before the world began, purposed in Christ, on how we would start and how we would end. And everything in between. Somebody ought to help me preach. I'm just about to get messed up in the Holy Ghost right here. Hey, listen, God's got a big old purpose for you. And it's all, it's based on his omnipotence. He had a prototype and he has started a mass production. All right. Everybody still here? This is just Bible preaching. Look on the verse. Are y'all still watching this? Look at verse 30 now. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now hold on a minute. How many of y'all remember the day you were called? Come on now. How many remember the day the Holy Ghost spoke to you and you were called? Now I know. The Calvinists, that bunch is eat up with it. Here's what they believe. They believe in a general call and a facious call. It means everybody got called, but you can't come on a general call. You can only come on a effectual call that's only for my elect. Hogwash. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Amen. That's what he said, not me. Yeah. Am I preaching tonight? Somebody help me preach. Yeah. You said, I don't like doctrine like this. You might as well, you ought to like it. Your whole eternity is resting on it. And then whom he called, them he also justified. That means you're declared righteous. I don't care how bad you get. I want you to know the devil accuses us every day. But when God looks over his throne, he sees his son's blood. That's, woo! That's a judicial word. It's not a spiritual word. I didn't experience justification. I just got it. I didn't even feel justification. You don't feel justification. It's a judicial thing. It's when the judge says you're free. And the judge of heaven declares you righteous based upon the chemistry of the cross of Calvary. We are declared righteous. We have been imputed his righteousness. There, now we ain't done yet. And then he also glorified. You said, what's that? That's when we get a new body. Now I want to ask you a question. I'm not very smart. Chad's the smartest guy on staff. If he is, we're in trouble. let me ask you. I want to get a vote. Vote. Predestined, is that past or present? Past. Called, past or present? Two of you. What's wrong with the rest of y'all? Justified, past or present? Glorified, past or present? You know what God said? I done purposed. And everyone that believed in my son, who's predestined to be conformed to my image, was called, was justified, and is glorified already. You just haven't got it yet. So how in the world can you be an Armenian who believes you're saved and lost and saved and lost when God said you, that's impossible because I ordained you to be saved and I ordained you to one day be like me. Somebody ought to shout. I'm not preaching about parasites tonight and pandemics tonight. I'm preaching on the truth of God's word. We're going to come out the other end of this thing because we've been conformed to his image. Whew. Is that all right? Would you amen just a little louder?
Amen.
Thank you. How many's getting a little help here? Let's see. Oh, I got 7 minutes or so. Then I want you to notice the demonstration of his product. Okay? I've been foreknown. I've been predestined to be conformed to his image. I've been called. I've been justified. I've already been glorified. Look at verse 31. See, that's all that is under the cause. And verse 31, the declaration of his product. That's my confidence. Now let's look at this. What shall we say to these things? That we've been called, we've been predestined, we've been justified, we are glorified. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to ask you a question. Why are you stumbling all the time in your Christian life when you got a God that's for you? He's for you in everything you go through. You ought to have confidence that you could be more of a conqueror through him. You know what I see? I see a lot of Christians that lack that confidence because they just don't realize how much God is for them. He doesn't finish your salvation. Hello? Am I all right, Joe? He done done it. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to join my loved ones. I'm going to get a new body. Then if that's true, if God be for me, who in God's name can be against me? He said, well, the people I work with, hogwash. Them other churches out there that believe something crazy, hogwash. Hogwash. God's force. If we really believe that, we ought to charge hell with a squirt gun. We ought to be the most fearless, confident people in the whole world. Most of us live with an inferiority complex that we're nothing. You are something. You are a child of God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're God somewhere. This is just pastoral preaching tonight. You said, I ain't getting nothing out of it. Then you didn't want anything. Well, let me ask you something. Some of you say, well, I got this big problem. It's against me. God's for you. I got this situation I don't know how to handle. God can handle it. But here's the thing. You got to want him to. You got to be willing to fall into his will and into his purpose and not buck against him. Now, I'm going to say this, huh? I'm done. Am I doing all right, buddy? Okay. You ain't said nothing, so I didn't want to. Now, I want to tell y'all something. This is going to choke some of them. Dave, this is about you and that. How many's a preacher in this room? Raise your hand if you're a preacher. Do you know what? God called you to preach from your mother's womb. That was his purpose in you. You're not mama called or daddy sent. God. Whoop. 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 Called me from the mother's womb. Somebody ought to grab a hold of that. Do you think he controls everything? Why is it we got some church members don't believe that? They're so scared. Now they'll drive to work, go to work, but they can't make it to church. I guess there's some boogeyman out there on the church lot. You know, if God be for us, who could be against a pandemic? A facial mask? Who gives a flip? I don't care about mass. I'd rather not be in one, but to be quite honest with you, if he can endure the cross, I can endure mass to be at the church and serve God. Do what? Hear it again. Now, I already preached too hard now. Somebody help me. See if God be for us. Hey, Matt, you here tonight? Man, you walked in pretty good tonight. He's for you, son. He's for your wife. I know you've been going through it, but God's got a big purpose for you.
Amen.
Chad, how do I get this thing close? How do I get it in the barn? Will you please help me? I'm trying to close out. How many of you right now, I'm done, are overwhelmed by your circumstance? You're overwhelmed. Because I'll tell you why you're overwhelmed. It's because you are trying to be a fixer. And the only thing can fix you is God. Only thing can help you is God. And you never forget something. When this old man dead and they got his body up here in front of everybody, you never forget something that our God said. God chose you from your mother's womb and God, hey, by the way, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God made no mistakes. God is on the throne and God is wiser than we are. All right, here's the invitation. I wonder how many be willing to come up here and say, I've been kind of bucking God's purpose, his will for me. And I'm willing tonight to come in and surrender whatever he wants for me to do in my life from this day forward. I wonder how many do that tonight. Is that the good way to close this? Stand with me. Whew. Maybe there ought to be people walking up here without me pushing you. Do you want to follow in his will? He's got a big purpose. He wants you to have joy and peace and love and unity and grace and mercy. Father, thank you for this little effort to preach the word of God tonight. Thank you for the energy I had tonight, Lord. I praise you for it.